free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, August 25th, 2014. Just a few days ago, I guess, I heard about this show that's playing off-Broadway that has libertarian themes, free market themes, anti-money printing themes. So I didn't really believe it. I thought, well, the person's exaggerating. I know a lot of people who go to the movies. There's a movie where there's one tiny sliver of a libertarian idea, and they make it into a libertarian movie. You got to go see it. So I was skeptical. But it turns out it really is a libertarian musical. It really is a pro-free market musical. And it's called Revolution in the Elbow of Ragnar Agnarsson, Furniture Painter. And it talks about money printing, moral hazard, and much else. And it's written by an Icelandic playwright who turns out to be a libertarian, as is his brother, the executive producer, Gunnlaugr Jonsson, who joins us today, who turns out to be a Tom Woods listener. So the whole thing is just crazy, and my head is exploding even thinking about this. So I thought I would have Mr. Jonsson join us today on the program to talk about this production. And, of course, to get some buzz going to encourage you guys in the New York area to go out and see it. Gunnlaugr Jonsson, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's very unusual that I speak to somebody who is in your line of work. I can't say that I'm familiar with a lot of off-Broadway shows that have expressly embraced, or at least indirectly embraced, some of the themes that I talk about on the program. There are plenty of, I've been to a number of off-Broadway shows that have been perfectly pleasant. I don't mean that they're all opposed to everything I believe in, but it's interesting that you have a production here that takes on some of the key economic issues and indeed moral issues that we talk about on this program. I want to give you an opportunity, though, to tell us about it. First of all, what the program is, play is called, and where people can see it. First of all,
The play is called "It's a Musical." It's called "Revolution in the Elbow" of Ragnar Agnarsson, Furniture Painter. You can just call it "Revolution in the Elbow" if you like. So it's a surreal musical that happens in the elbow of a person. It's in a tiny village in the elbow of a furniture painter, a couch potato. And there are people there, and they have their banking crisis and their political crises. So, and they're dealing with that. And we have some pretty amazing music in the musical, written by my brother, Ivar Páll Jónsson, who I'm the executive producer. He's the writer. And it has been getting rave reviews in many media. So it's at the Minetta Lane, the Minetta Lane Theater in the West Village in New York. And it's getting a pretty good reception. We're getting standing ovations every night now. So we're really happy about that. And it's pretty new. It's a revolution in many ways. I think it's a revolution to discuss these issues in a musical. It's very unusual. I think that many musicals do not have such a serious message. Although it's wildly entertaining, it's a lot of fun. It's not like an economics lecture. Actually, I think that they are sometimes pretty fun as well. but most people would disagree. And so, and the humor is absurd, and it's great fun to watch. But the underlying message is very serious. So that's one of the revolutions that we have in this. Another revolution is the kind of music that we have. A lot of people that don't usually go to musicals don't care to go listen to that kind of music and that kind of stories. They really love what we are doing, both because of the music and the story, and because we have this indie rock score that's really epic and emotional. I think that we reach a lot of people that usually don't like musicals.
Well, let me direct people to the website revolutionelbow.com. There's a YouTube right there on the homepage to give you a sense of it and of the music. So let's talk about what some of these themes are. The general public, at least in the United States, is of the opinion that what happened in Iceland was a breakdown of the free market. You had the free market run amok in Iceland, and then it all came crashing down. And you seem to be of a different opinion. I mean, I guess we can talk, first of all, about your own thoughts, and then we'll extend our conversation into the musical itself. But why is that? Is that a misconception that Americans have about what happened in Iceland?
Yes, but it's not only they. A lot of Icelanders have that misconception
sure.
as well. So it's perfectly natural, so to speak. But it's absolutely wrong. What we had in Iceland was a huge banking system that grew beyond its capacity to pay back loans, all given government support of the banking system. Almost every single credit rating agency believed that the government would support and was able to support the banking system. And on that premise, the banking system grew. And it was supported in many ways, for example, by the central bank. So it was the responsibility of the investors that lend money to the banks, that bought the bonds that the banks issued. It wasn't there because they believed that the government was ultimately responsible for their decisions and the consequences of their decisions. So it's a classic story of a moral hazard. And so the banking system not only grew much more than it should have, and people made a lot of decisions that would not have been made in a free system, having real free market capitalism. So but of course, in a free market, if you have free banks, of course some of them will fail from time to time. But the likelihood of it happening in such a grand scale for a single country, and in such a systematic manner, is much, much lower.
I was going to ask, how is this kind of story being told through the life of a furniture painter? Who is this furniture painter?
Well, that's the thing. That's another level of the story. The story isn't really about him. The story is about a village within him. He's just a setting, and you could say it's you can have a different discussion on epistemology based on the fact that it's based in a within a person. So the people that live in a village there, they believe in a god named Robert Redford, because they've seen Robert Redford through the eyes of the furniture painter. So that's a whole another discussion.
Okay.
We really don't see Ragnar Ragnarsson, furniture painter, except we see his picture from time to time, what he's doing as things are happening inside him. But we're watching the village of the people in his elbow. And the elbow is it's a small village. It's like Iceland, but the big cities are in, for example, in New York, in his knee, and in Cardiopolis, that's in his chest. It's called the country of Monbrest. And so there's simply a village in his elbow, and we have a guy that has an invention. He creates a thing called the prosperity machine, and the prosperity machines can print so-called promissory notes, and they use that to lend it out, and they inflate a very large bubble there, and it all goes badly in the end, as you know. And we also get to learn a little bit about, because about human nature, and that the dividing line between good and evil isn't always just I'm the good guy and you're the bad guy. We can see that people are themselves divided. The dividing line goes through our own hearts. And it's sometimes easy after something bad has happened to explain it, like say, all these bankers are bad, but I'm a part of a good group. So we try to understand people and understand their incentives, and also the incentives of the politicians. So we try to be compassionate and understanding, while at the same time we're criticizing the system.
Well, how does the prosperity machine work, or how is it supposed to work, and how does it actually work, or would that give away too much of the fun?
Well, it's pretty simple. One of the good things about staging a play in a surreal setting like The Elbow is that you don't have to go exactly by the rules of the real world. So we don't have to make it look like exactly like a real bank or a real central bank. It's just a machine that prints money, and because people do not have experience from it, they just believe that they can spend that money, they can use it, and they will be prosperous, and that's what seems to happen to begin with. And everybody gets in debt, and so we pretty much have the same thing that has been happening in the real world.
Now, a lot of times when you have a play or a movie that has a message to it, the message is delivered in a very sledgehammer style, where the audience feels lectured to, and it can be tiresome. And I get the sense that the premise you have here is such that the message is being delivered in a more subtle and enjoyable way.
Yes, yes. I hate that when they're lecturing you. Of course, some people may disagree that we are able to do that, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to show what happened. We're trying to show why it happened. We're not telling people why it happened. So people have to understand it for themselves. And we actually have a lot of people on the left, leftists, that see this as a confirmation of what they think. Because they go there and they see the crazy banker going nuts with the prosperity machine, and they think that just shows how capitalism is. But it is well stated in the play that it all happens in cooperation with the town itself, and the premise for it happening is the town participating.
How long has it been playing?
It was premiered on the 13th of August, so it's not very long now, and it's amazing to be there. I've never seen a show like this, even though I'm speaking myself, an executive producer of the show, so and a lot of people are enjoying it right now.
Now, I'm speaking to you, you're speaking to us from Iceland right now. I assume you were in the United States for the premiere?
Yes. Yes, I was.
How does an off-Broadway show get started? There are only so many off-Broadway locations. How do you break into it?
It's pretty hard. I had no background in theater 3 years ago when my brother started this process, and we didn't really know the people that we needed to help us with this. But we eventually were able to find the people in working on Broadway. So there are many theater companies, and there are many theaters that you can rent. And so we found the best one, and we hired a lot of professional people with great credentials and award-winning artists that have been doing this with us. We have an Icelandic director that has great experience and has won many awards. So, yeah, we were able to break into it by working with people that know how to do it.
You have a lot of competition off-Broadway. There are so many productions going on at once. What you need is, well, word of mouth. You need people to leave the production and go tell their friends that they've got to go see this thing. You've got to get the word out to distinguish your show from the many, many competing diversions that people have, the different ways they can spend their time. How often during the week is this playing?
It's six times a week. So it's we have no shows on Sundays and Mondays, and we have two shows on Saturdays. It's always at 8 o'clock, and we also have a matinee at 2 o'clock on Saturdays.
What I've seen of reviews of the production is they're very impressed by the music, they're impressed by the premise. How about the political undertones of it? Is that being acknowledged, talked about, or are people focusing on other aspects of the production?
Some people, everybody gets it. Everybody gets that it's political. I believe that people get it at different levels or have a different understanding of it. But, I read a couple of reviews where it seems that the reviewers are completely clueless of that. They wouldn't know what to think of it and how to interpret it. So they're uncomfortable with the play because of it. So that has happened. But we've had some great reviews as well, where people completely get it, and they also get the music, and they find it very funny, and everything, the choreography, and the actors, and the singers. So I think that mostly among people that are open, and are open to new experiences in theater, they really love it. And actually, why do you go to theater? You go to experience something new. You don't want to see the same play over and over again. And you want to see something that you can tell people about and have a fond memory of. So I think that we have a good play for that. And like you say, there's so much competition. There are so many plays and many musicals. And what you need then is something that's very different from everything else. And I believe that's what we have.
Well, no doubt. As we wrap up here, I want you to feel like you had the chance to say everything you wanted to say. Is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with, apart from the fact that they should visit revolutionelbow.com? The play is at the Minetta Lane Theater, which is at 18 Minetta Lane in New York. What else do you want to say about this production for us?
Well, I will tell them, please go, please see it. It's interesting, and take your friends. For example, if you have friends that do not agree with you politically, it's going to be a great thing to talk about and talk about some real issues. And it's going to be fun the whole time.
Well, Mr. Janssen, I appreciate your time today. I think you are the first guest I have spoken to from Iceland. So perhaps not the last, but it's another first here on the show. I guess I assumed you were based in the United States because the play is going on in the United States, and then I saw the telephone number, and I thought, well, this ought to be interesting. Well, I'm glad you were able to make time to talk to us about it, and I wish you the best of luck with this.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
Okay, everybody, remember, if you still don't have my free ebook that I put together some months ago, it's an ebook of transcripts of all the interviews we did on this show in 2013. Covering a vast array of topics, giving you all kinds of information at your fingertips for nothing. And I mean nothing. There are no strings, nothing. Just go get it. Go claim it for yourself. We got a Kindle version. We got a Nook version. We got a PDF. There's no excuse not to go get this thing. How do you get it? It's at tomwoods.com/woodsbook. All one word, Woods Book. TomWoods.com/Woods Book. My sincere thanks to those of you who are helping out the show with your Amazon purchases at no cost to yourself. You can help me pay the bills here by entering Amazon at TomWoodsRadio.com using our little widget there, or, of course, by becoming a supporting listener at SupportingListeners.com. I mentioned in my most recent issue of my newsletter, which you can get at TomWoods.com or at TomWoodsRadio.com, and it's sent out weekly, and if you hate it, you can throw it away, but I keep people up to date on what I'm doing and stuff like that. But in that letter, I noted that I am thinking of doing an occasional Q&A show where I take some of your questions and answer them. Now, of course, if I don't know the answer, I'll try to bring on a guest to answer your question, and I can't guarantee I'll get to all of them, but I'm thinking of doing an occasional bonus Q&A episode. So if you have some cues for me to A, you can send them to me through the contact page at TomWoods.com. There's a contact page there. Send those questions to me. I can't respond to your questions through email just because I'm overwhelmed. I mean, I'm practically giving up email. It's like I'm just giving it up. I can't do it anymore, basically. But I've got so much on my plate right now. But I'll do my best to try and get to it in a future episode. All right, thanks again, everybody, for listening, for the support, for linking to the show, for telling your friends about it. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.